Let us pray. Holy God, thank you for these words. The words of Job as we begin to read once again that saga of how we deal with the disappointments of life. And as we go through the reading of that book over the next few weeks, guide us. Give us wisdom and understanding. And as we once again hear the story of the two earliest accounts that we have of our communion service, we pray, O Lord, that we may be touched by those words and recognize what they truly mean to us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. A mother took her 4-year-old to church, and he stayed in for communion for the first time. They came by and passed the bread plates, and he took a piece of bread, as he watched others do, and his mom. Then they came by with the juice, and he took that without any comment. But when the collection plate was being passed, the little boy asked, now what are they serving? And I like his comment. Holy Communion really is about God. It's about God through Jesus Christ serving us something else that's very important. Serving us grace. That's why I believe it is more appreciated than our other sacrament of baptism, which is about grace too. But for most of us, it was grace received when we were too little to understand or comprehend its meaning. I think all of us have thoughts and memories about communion when we truly felt God's grace. And I've shared with you many times how touched I am when I take communion, especially to people who are unable to attend church any longer. And often they are so touched by the meaning of this sacrament that they have tears in their eyes as we celebrate it. Now, I've asked several people to share with us today what communion means to them or a special communion celebration that touched them. And I'd like to begin and invite Paul Woodman to come forward.
Tom asked me to come here and speak to you about my feelings of communion. I said, sure. That should be simple enough. I'll just go home, crack some of my books on theology, come up with something. That'll be great. And as I was walking away, it was like an arm reached out and grabbed me by the shoulder and turned me around. This is your opinion, Paul. Oh. So we're sitting here in church during the service. And Madeline gets up and she talks about the success of the program at ShopRite in collecting food. We were all overjoyed, very happy about that. And now my mind is working. Yes, communion is a celebration. We need to celebrate things that are important to us. We celebrate anniversaries. We celebrate birthdays. We celebrate the life of Christ in our lives through communion. This is important. Without celebrations, we do not have an event. The event has come, gone, forgotten. Communion keeps our mind fresh as to the events. But again, we know this. Most of us would feel that way. Paul, again, what is it to you? So I started thinking, and I started thinking about Madeline's effort to collect food. You know, collecting food and sharing with other people, that is truly breaking bread together. And I started thinking about all the places we break bread together. We break bread together as a family when we gather around a table and we serve a meal. Whether it's just our immediate family or extended family. With friends, I know our neighbors get together frequently. We have a little quick barbecue during the summer, and sometimes during the winter we get together in winter. That get out of our own house and to be with friends. And it's a wonderful, warming experience. I can remember in my life many times when I broke bread together with people. And I think one of the greatest events I've had in this was as a driver in some place far from home, at a truck stop, at a counter, with a driver on one side, the driver on the other side, and the three of us there having a meal. Say what you want about it, but that is one of the finest ways of breaking bread together. You have a good, warm conversation, and most of the drivers are from the Bible Belt area of the United States, and they have very spiritual ways about them. And I'm very warmed and very touched by the number of drivers I met that would stop and have prayer before they would indulge in a meal. The number of drivers who shared their faith in Christ. Yes, breaking bread together to me is more than just what we're doing today. Yes, we need to do this. Yes, we do need to do this to remember. But every time you share a meal with somebody, please remember, we are breaking bread together. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. Israel, Sierra.
It wasn't scripted like this, you know, Paul taking that side and me taking this side. So, but my story is a little bit different. And when the Reverend asked me, think about something special about communion, it brings me back way back, and I'm talking about 55 years and more. I came from a family who did not speak English. And at the age of 5, we had to leave our Spanish-speaking community and go to an Italian community. So I didn't understand anything at all. But I used to see the Catholic boys, Italian Catholic boys, going to church all the time. And then one of the things that got to me was there was a time in the spring when they all dressed up in blue suits, white shirts, a white ribbon. And they all went to church. And all the girls in the neighborhood had their white dresses with the veils, nice shoes. And here I was, about 6 or 7 years old, didn't understand what was going on. As time went by, I had an incident where I was really, really afraid. And Mom said, it's okay to cry, but at the same time, I want to pray to God. And that kind of touched me. It really did calm me. And here I was, about 7 years old, maybe. And then, after a while, when I got closer into the neighborhood, I got to learn the language, started to go to the local church. And again, every spring, I would see the boys with the suits and the girls with the dresses and them walking out. And I said, I want to do that. I want to do that, because it just looks so special. I saw that when I was about 5, 6, 7 years old. And finally, on my own, I went to religious classes, learned about the Bible, learned about Jesus, at the age of 12, which is really old for anybody to go have their first communion in a Catholic church. I was the only boy, but I didn't know that a girl, one of my best friends, who was also 12 years old, in a neighbor of mine from the other neighborhood, we saw each other for the first time. And I said, that's Maria. And she said, oh, that's Israel. And we got together, very proud, and we received our host. Because you know in the Catholic churches they give you these little wafers. And I said, wow, this is really cool. When the organs went up, and the music came out, and it rang through the church, and this was a pretty big church, it really, really hit me. To the point where when I was a teenager, I was considering becoming a Jesuit priest. But life took me in a different direction, in a good direction. Every time I have communion here, it almost brings me back to those great days. Every time I have communion, I go back to the Bible, we go back to Corinthians, we go back to Mark, about the miracle of Jesus. Now I have three half-brothers. Troublemakers, 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 all growing up. Okay. I was the one who feared God the most, and they used to tease me because, oh, you don't do this and you don't do that. And something must have happened to them that they turned to Jesus. All three of them. Today, two of them are ministers. One of them even Catholics can dance. But it brings me back to those days. And even growing up, because I'm older than my brothers by at least 7, 8, and 13 years. And they always consider me the next best thing to Pop, who was my father. And they always told me, they said, boy, you were always the good guy. And I said, not necessarily. But I was always trusting God. I was always trusting Jesus. And I've been in the military, and I grew up in a really bad neighborhood afterwards, where I keep on saying today, it was the miracle of Christ that kept me going for whatever reason it was. I lost a lot of friends in Vietnam. Some of them were some of the Italian kids that, you know, that I grew up with. And I always prayed for them. But at the same time, I guess we're all here for a reason. And my reason right now, this moment, is to praise God, to praise Jesus. And every time I come up here for communion, and I sit back here, the reflection of family and friends, and thinking of the future becoming better, just hits my mind. So, to put this all into one package, what it does is, it brings me to my own heart, to my own spirit. I calm down and just feel the sense of love and family. And this is why you see me here quite a bit. And I like to do a few things, you know, to help people out. And that's it. It was all Jesus Christ. And it was actually the power of having that very first communion with Maria. But that's my little story.
Then, Tom Fazio. I'm a very fan.
I told them all to do the pulpit, but they don't mind the pulpit, which is good.
Okay. Well, first of all, the first two talks were amazing. Mine's a little bit different. Hopefully, you'll find it as good as the first two. About a week or two ago, Reverend Peters asked us, a few of us, if we would talk about a special communion or a time that we took communion that was important to us. And I started thinking about this and said, how am I going to explain this? So I thought what I would do is give you a little bit of background of myself and maybe try and paint a picture of how communion and why communion is important to me. The first 5 years of my life I spent in Newark, very urban environment, though I really didn't realize it at the time. We moved up to Berkeley Heights, which is just next door here, when I was in the second grade, and my grandmother, Grandma Vicky, came with us. She was a recent widow, and she moved into the house in Berkeley Heights with us. My grandmother took care of the kitchen while my mom went to work. She grew up in Italy, and she only had a couple years of school, just enough to read and just enough to write. At our house, her day started trying to figure out what was going to be for dinner that night and getting the kitchen ready to prepare. Cooking and preparing the meal was the highlight of her day. She took great pride in what she produced and what she cooked, and great pride in having everyone around the table at the end of the day. Holiday meals were something special. Our special meal, and for the longest time we thought everybody had this, was lasagna, pasta, homemade noodles, not from a box. We thought everybody did that until we wound up, as we went through grammar school and started to realize that wasn't true. Having the extended family around the holiday table, and really, not even really a holiday, but in my mind, a feast, was something that made my grandmother very, very happy. The family members also enjoyed the time together, and dinner around the table, and just being together with each other. In a very basic way, to me, communion is a way for us to join with Jesus at his table. For communion, or a feast, if you ask me. The opportunity to be with Jesus in this special way is always important to me. Israel talked about being calm. Israel talked about having a chance to reflect. For me, it's an opportunity to reflect, to be closer to God, and to be closer with the church family. The time that I think makes Jesus very happy that we're all together for the feast that he prepared. What could be more important than that? Nothing that I can think of. Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen. Today, as I've announced, we celebrate World Communion. We're reminded that God is there for all people, not just those who look, think, or act like we do. It's a time to envision the giving of grace to achieve peace and hope, which we've heard from these three. And I hope you will reflect on what you've heard and what you believe about communion as you receive the sacrament today. As God serves us through Christ, may we serve God through the grace that we offer others. Amen.